the people that we actually went to go minister to this year. So if you can just do some imagining with me. So imagine being part of this beautiful culture, being this cheerful people, rich in history, close to family, holding traditions and all that is of the land sacred. Now imagine having all of this taken away from you. Imagine foreigners coming in, taking away your source of food, the buffalo, which you hold sacred, telling you that your culture is evil, taking your children away to be re-educated of all that you taught them, and then confining you to a region in your own land, no longer able to roam free. Now fast forward about 150 years. Imagine yourself as a teenager in the same land, still living with the repercussions of what happened so long ago. You're living with the hurt that happened to your nation long before you were even born, a nation that has never really healed from all the hurt of the past. Well, these were the people that we were called to minister to this year for another opportunity to show them that there is a reason for this hurt and an answer for all the hurt that has happened to them, for all that has taken place in their lives. So before I go any further, I really just want to thank you so much to this congregation just for the ways that you've supported us through prayers, through financial support, and just the power of knowing that we have this congregation behind us as we minister to the people there, that it really is a powerful thing knowing that we have this cloud of prayer over us serving. And I also want to say thank you to the parents who allowed their children to go. I know it must not have been easy to let your kids go for a week and to and all the support of the fundraising and everything, but it was really cool that you allowed them to be able to experience God in this way. So this year, we decided to return to Spirit Lake, North Dakota, because we felt like last year, God had opened a lot of doors for us. In the relationships that we had built, we felt like we had just touched the surface of what we were able to do last year. And so we felt like this was a great opportunity for us to really come back and try to deepen those relationships and to meet even more people that we hadn't met last year. So what was so great and so challenging while we were there was that our schedule, the only thing we had planned going in was a welcome barbecue. And basically, we would go out to the neighborhood and invite people in. And this was our opportunity to build relationships. And so it was to meet people, to see who we could possibly have connections with. And these were the people that we'd keep in mind for the week of who we wanted to go back to and really build deeper relationships with or who we felt connections to. So basically what we'd do is we would meet, we would have our morning kind of leadership time, and then it was difficult because we really had to depend on the Holy Spirit to lead us to what he was putting in our hearts to do. So it wasn't so much like, okay, so we do this in the morning and we have a planned VBS or we have planned activities, but it was really just searching for what would best minister to this community. Some of the things that we ended up doing were, it was kind of all sorts of things. It was from going to the playground area to play with the kids, to playing basketball with them, which is a huge thing there, to making jewelry with the kids and organizing softball games. And I think you might hear about it later, but we also helped try to restore that a center basketball hoop that they had, and we were able to do that. So our target age group while we were there were the teenagers. And we found that even in these attempts to connect with them, it was really difficult. That even through these activities of playing basketball and just hanging out with them, it was still kind of hard to try to get into these deeper conversations. And at the same time, we would go out there during the day and we would get swarmed with all these little kids that would come, and they were just so eager, so excited for us to play with them. And so I think for me personally, it was kind of a struggle because I felt like I wanted to get deeper, but at the same time, there were so many children that were just so hungry for attention. And it was such a blessing because I did end up spending most of my time with the little children. But at the same time, I was really questioning, you know, how am I being effective in this way? Like, how am I able to get this message across to these children that were, I guess, I mean, they were just so eager to play, and we were able to give them the wordless book bracelets, and that was really cool. But at the same time, I was like, you know, I felt like we were called here to really go deeper into conversation. So what I did learn is that I think my idea going into this trip was I wanted that instant success. Like, I wanted to be able to have that deep conversation. I wanted to be able to share Christ. But in reality, that's not how God works. He's not an instant kind of God. I think the reality was that it takes time to build these relationships. And a lot of what we did was kind of pouring into the community, that it wasn't just pouring into one person or really finding that connection. And some of us were able to find those connections, but for me personally, I think it was pouring into the community by playing with the kids, by giving piggyback rides, by just hanging out with them and being able to serve them in a way that showed that we really cared. And I think it's also trusting God in the little things, that if he has given me this child that is following me around, you know, to take that opportunity to give her a bracelet, to take her on my back, and just to spend the day so that she can feel special, that she can know that she is loved, that it's that she is a child of God. And so, yeah, that was my experience. And now we have Julia Chu. We'll share a little bit about hers. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Julia, and I had the greatest opportunity to be able to go on this mission with the high schoolers in our church. Actually, personally, I had a lot of doubts. As much as we tried our training every month, we had a meeting. It really felt like we weren't ready, and the people on our team were not a lot, but quite young, and I actually was kind of worried if we could really share about God. But then God showed me a lot. But in the very beginning, we had to meet at the airport at 5. My dad's one of those people that would get there always 15 minutes early. And I was just thinking, I was probably going to be the first one there. But then when I arrived, most of our team were there already. And that's when I know this team is committed. We're with people, even though they're young, but we just have one mission and we're going for it. As much trainings as we had, we didn't have an exact schedule of what we do during that week. Like Julie said, it was just spontaneous. We know what we're doing the first night. It was the barbecue. We just know that here are the people that we needed to get to know. I had a solid idea of what's like there, because I was on a mission trip last summer, around the same time, and we know the people there are... they just kind of lost. If you talk to the teenagers there, they don't really know what they're doing for the rest of their lives. They know that my parents don't really get along, or we just, you know, at home, we stay at home and drink all the time. And when we visit their houses, you can see all those broken walls because people just get drunk and they punch things. It was just so hard to see how these people were once so close-knitted. I mean, they have really close community, but then now that everyone just kind of lost, and these are the people we have to share with. And Julie said, we wanted to connect with the teenagers, but it didn't really happen exactly what we wanted. All the little kids came to us. And those kids were just really tiring to play with. I mean, they climb on our backs and whatnot. But then that didn't really stop us from spreading the God's love. We'll probably have some slideshow later, but there's this picture where Marvin sat in the church and there were little kids around him and he was just sharing about God. And same with a lot of us, we just took, even though they were little kids, we were kind of thinking maybe they don't really understand what we wanted to tell them, but it was just amazing how we can... so connect with them. And we made this little bracelets. It was like the color of the wordless book. And then the kids were really interested. They're like, oh, why is it red? And then that's when we tell them that's God's blood shedding for us. And it was very eye-opening to see those. They were really young, but then they're really curious of what the what we believe in and how our lives is. And we also get to share with them. And one thing that we did was we were able to visit the people we met the year before. They were really happy to see us because they just know that we really care for them and we really want to stay being friends with them. And one girl that we met last year was, her name was Rochelle, and then she was telling us that she wants to go to UW because of the medical school there. And we're just like, wow, UW, that's where we came from. And so it was just great that how there's this little connection, and God never stopped working. And she was telling us she doesn't want to fall into the track where she becomes a teenage mother, which is a lot of girls there just became have kids when they're like 16 years old. And she's telling us she doesn't want to be like that. And that's just one of the first thing that happened. And then every night we have this debrief where we kind of share about what happened that day and some connections we made, and then we plan for the next day. And then randomly, I think it was Marvin or Jeff, he just noticed the basketball rim, and the basketball court was kind of ruined. It was broken. That's like the center of their community. It's like where all the people get together and hang out. And we saw that. We're like, oh, they don't really have anything to use to get together. So we wanted to fix their court for them. And then someone also brought up the idea of doing a skit. If you guys were there on praise night, Neil and I put up a skit where it's about like a girl, and she had to go through so much struggle in life, and then there was Christ who reached out for her. And we wanted to perform something like that. It's like a simple, it was short, and it was kind of intense, but then it could also get something out of it. And then so the guys went out to the store, and they found the rim, but it was the last one there. And then Marvin was kind of say like, oh, that was such a God moment, because they couldn't find it. And then when they did, it was the last one. So it has to be what God wanted, right? It has to be. And then so we just went out the neighborhood, and we borrowed all the tools. We fixed it along, and people were just, they wanted us to do that for them. They just give us what we wanted. And throughout that process, we met some guys who became good friends with the people on our team. And then we also met an elderly lady. She was a teacher. Her name is Mary. She was a she just teach us about culture, and she was really happy to meet us. She was like, oh, if you want to hear a lot of stories, I got tons for you. And then, but she was really different, because everyone else in the neighborhood, they didn't really want us to be there, especially the adults. When we go by like door to door, and then we could hear them whisper in the house, they're like, those are church people. And then we know that they don't really want us to be there, but we still wanted to talk to them and whatnot. Not everything we planned worked out. The next day after we fixed the basketball rim, we found that it was broken. And then when we wanted to perform the skit, it started to rain. And that's when we question our, and even question our faith a little bit. Hey, God, we wanted to do something for the people here. Why didn't it work out? And we're just kind of discouraged. And then the rain didn't stop. It's weird. The rain only comes when we wanted to perform. So it rained Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, same time. And then so we're like, why, God, why don't you want them to work out? Don't you want them to see the skit? And it was just weird. But the very last night there, Tang suggested us that we should do it in the indoor gym. So if it rains, we're still in indoor. And they have like a better sound system there, so we could do it. And we did it very last night. A lot of people, a lot of young people came out to watch us, because they were, I don't think they really were there for like a message, but they were kind of curious what we could bring to them. And then some of the comments we got was, that was really intense. And that's what we wanted to get out of it. What we wanted to think about, there's so much bigger, there's God, and he loved you so much. And we wanted to them to know. And everything went smoothly that last night, and we said goodbye to them. I mean, it's funny how to see God work during this whole trip. Our hope was to connect with the young adults, teenagers, but then God said, that's not enough. There's a lot of all these little kids. And he brought us the little kids, and we were able to give them the bracelets and share about God. And the little kids loved us. They keep asking us to sending letters or write them letters and send them pictures that we took. Like the last day we were there, and then Marky, just another little girl, she came up to us and she's like, "Why didn't you write me letters? I didn't get them last night." And I was like, "We're still here. We haven't written them yet." And it's just how much they want to keep the connection. They just want to continue the friendship with them. And then, like when we wanted to go to neighborhood to get the tools we needed to fix the court, God also brought us some new friends, and we connected with them really well. They get to tell us about their culture and just some of the deeper things that happen in their families, and we're just really glad to be able to do that. And then, like, how God made it rain every night, pretty much, and then, but God wanted to make our skit happen on Friday, and that's what happened, and it went really well, and it was all God. I mean, if we did it outdoor, it probably wasn't as good as it turned out. And then God always opens just doors for us to share. Tang met this elderly man just sitting outside of his porch, and then they had a really deep conversation, and then they prayed together. And then there was this lady who walked like four or five miles to our church because her cat ran away, and the cat happened to be our church, and that's where she found it, and she came to us. When we drive kids to the bowling place, and then we had really deep conversations with them. Just little opportunities like that. It was just how God wanted it to be, and we took that opportunity and go for it. Those are just a few things that had happened in the trip, and there's so much more. I mean, sure, everyone in the team probably had something different to tell you. You just need to go up to them and ask them. And one thing that I treasure a lot on this trip was not just a relationship we built with the natives, but also the people on our team. We stuck together for many, many days, many, many hours. Not many, many days, but many hours. But I got so much closer, especially with the girls. We were going through some emotional down because it is a mission trip, and it's never easy. And then we prayed together and shared with one another, and I really felt that God also put the girls in that team so that when I was falling behind, they're always there to, you know, push me forward. And then I got to listen to Charlie's testimony, and I felt really privileged. Right, what's you won't get to hear Charlie's testimony. It was just amazing to get to know him that way. And then we didn't really have a very comfortable place, and there were a lot of bugs and stuff, but no one really complained. I think we come home with like 20 bug bites, but then no one really whined about it. They never regret going on this trip. We just deal with it. We got sunburn, and it was really hot and all that stuff. We were always thirsty, but then all the people on the team just made it so not so bad anymore. And I'm just really thankful for the people on the team. And then also every night we come back to the church, and we always receive that little notes that's written by people from this church. And then also when we put some updates on the Adventures in Mission website, the friends here would read them, and then they would pray for us. And I feel like it's not just a group of us, the small group of us that were there. It was like pretty much the whole church was there. And I come back, people here really wanted to know what happened, and they wanted to know how God worked. And it was just good to know, and I just want to thank you all. And next we have some of the guys on our team. They learn a song from the Native American, so we're going to have them share with us. And Marvin.
We're not going to have the guys come up. We're just going to have me. So if you guys don't know, I'm Marvin, and this was my second year going on the trip. So I just wanted to share with you guys some of the culture they had. It's a little different from Dances with Wolves. I want to share something pretty special and significant to us. So this year, like Julia said, when we were fixing the hoop, we met a guy named Skyler. And he was probably the guy that we had the best connection with. We didn't meet him last year, and he was really cool and pretty interesting. he was really curious about Asian people. He had a lot of questions for us. Like, some of his questions were, do we know Kung Fu? And as Asian people, are we supposed to know Kung Fu? And if you see in your insert, he asked Bez to see if he could do Kung Fu, and they wrestled. Yeah. So one of the cool things about him was that he was a grandson of what Julia said, Mary Black Bull. She was a really well-respected woman in the community. And she came to the church to share about the Dakota culture, but that was like later in the week. But the first night we met Sky, he came over to the church where we were staying at and had dinner with us. After dinner, we went into the town and hung out, and then we came back. So we were just hanging out in the guy's room, and we started talking about the culture, the Dakota culture. He told us a lot about himself, like how he was involved with a lot of the ceremonies, the rituals, and festivals, because his grandmother was one of the leaders. So this video is a song he taught us just for fun, but it meant a lot to us because Sky was one of the best relationships we developed on this trip. So you guys want to...
I want to thank Jeff. I know he spends a lot of time working on that. I just want to invite the North Dakota team to stand up. Some of you guys are wearing North Dakota shirts. So go ahead and stand up. All you guys who went this year, please stand up. There you go. Take a look around. One of the most powerful thing was that we had a story of redemption right in the center of town. And you saw that little clip at the end. We actually did it twice. You guys can sit down. But we saw that clip. We actually did it twice. We did it anyways, right after the rainfall. We said, forget it. We're just going to try to do it. And we had like 10 people there watching, laughing at us. And then we did it again at the end. And really the story of redemption. Another way, another story, another hope, another direction. That's what we brought. And that's all we hope we could do. So thank you again for your support, and I just really thank you for those who prayed for us. And let me just encourage everyone here. You have parents who have kids in high school. You know, we're going to try to do this every year, but I see no greater method of discipleship, of showing students what it means to follow Jesus Christ than to allow them to go on a mission trip like this. Because stripped away of all the stuff, all the iPods, the TVs, the Xboxes, strip away all the busyness of life, and they enter another world, and they begin to see, does my faith make sense? Does what I believe gel with the brokenness of this world? And that's what we were all about, and that's what God really showed, and I'm so proud of them. And so thank you for allowing us to share, and I just invite Julie to come on up and close our service. Well, I'll pray real quick as she comes up. Father, thank you. Thank you for North Dakota. Thank you for the people we met and the power of the gospel message. Father, I know that everyone who watched that skit really understood the brokenness of life and how desperately we need, Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we thank you for everyone here. Thank you for this church that sends forth people with a message that the gospel message still changes lives and still brings hope. And Lord, we love you. We know, Father, that all we have is you. And that's all we really ever needed. And we offer that to this world. So God, we love you. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi again. Just want to welcome you all to SCAC. And